You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Monster House presents.
Monster Talk is supported by listeners like you. Find out how you can contribute via Patreon or with reviews at monstertalk.org/support. Your contributions, large or small, make a huge difference. Thanks.
I would want to like say, okay, if I'm going to do a movie with my friends, I'm actually going to go someplace fun. Where'd you do the movie?
So we shot in Savannah, Georgia, which I've never been. Have you been?
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, I'm from South Carolina on the coast, so
we're going
to Savannah. Yeah, it's a beautiful town. Yeah, it's great.
So I was like, I didn't know anything about it, so I was like looking stuff up. And their big claim to fame is that everything is haunted. So when I got there, everywhere you went, you know, they'd be like, oh, just there's a little tidbit. This place is haunted. And it was cool when it was like an old mansion or something.
Yeah,
you'd be
sure.
Like, oh.
Beautiful old places down there.
Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, it's haunted. And you'd be like, oh, yeah. But then everybody was doing it everywhere. So it kind of wore its welcome out because, you know, you go to like Outback Steakhouse and they'd be like, just so you know, this is haunted, you know, like.
It's actually quite unlike anything we've ever seen before.
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man.
In Loch Ness, a 24-mile-long bottomless lake in the highlands of Scotland, it's a creature known as the Loch Ness Monster.
Monster Talk.
Welcome to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
A few weeks ago, I visited Savannah, Georgia with my family, and it got me and Karen to talking about what some have claimed to be the most haunted city in America. We joke about that unverifiable claim, but it's also a fun chat about some really interesting and beautiful historic buildings and sites right here in my home state of Georgia. I'm going to put links to these places in the show notes, and I may be making another monster-themed road trip in the not-too-distant future to investigate a local beastie. And if I do, you'll hear about it here. I just resurrected my horror podcast, and I discussed another part of our trip where I visited some shooting locations for Lucio Fulci's City of the Living Dead, which was filmed in the Savannah area in 1980. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. It's on Patreon, but it's free if you want to check it out. All right, let's get to the
Monster Talk.
We're going to be talking today about a fun place that I like to go. I don't get to go as often as I like, but it's a place I've been to many times.
I've only been there once, and that was back in 2008. So did we mention that we're talking about Savannah, Georgia?
Savannah, Georgia.
We're going to be talking about history and hauntings in Savannah, Georgia. And first time I went there, first in only time was in 2008, and that was right after we met at Dragon Con that year.
Oh yeah. So basically, we've just been holding off on this till the time was right. Good work.
Well, yet another one up our sleeves, I guess. But the reason I was there in 2008 was that I was visiting with a friend of mine. You met her. She's now sadly passed, Michelle, and she used to live in Macon.
Oh, yeah.
And I had just talked about wanting to go to Savannah because of all of the ghost stories. And so we made the trip together. So it was a very fun trip. And this is just really exciting to be able to finally talk about this. And you were there recently, weren't you?
Yeah, just a few weeks back. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the weekend of the big hurricane hitting Florida, because everybody was concerned that the hurricane was going to hit Savannah. So the streets were basically empty.
Well, I thought we'd start with a potted history, as we often do, about Savannah. And I mean, there's so much to talk about when it comes to the history of this place. It's got a really rich history. But I think if you look up the history online, you'd think that Savannah's history just goes back to 1733. So like all the textbooks say, when they talk about General James Oglethorpe, and he landed on a cliff along the Savannah River with 120 passengers of the good ship Anne. But the Yamacraw people were actually there first on the site of present-day Savannah. So as the story goes, upon arrival, General Oglethorpe negotiated with the head chief of the Yamacraw people. It was Tomachichi. And the Yamacraw people agreed to move their village upriver. So Oglethorpe named the colony Georgia, and that was after England's King George II. So their plan was to offer a new start for England's poor, so kind of along the same lines of the colonization of Australia, and to also strengthen the colonies by increasing trade. So when we start talking about trade, I mean, we're getting into territory where we're talking about enslavement, unfortunately. And sure. Originally it was forbidden in Georgia, but then after independence was secured from the British rule, enslavement was then legalized, and that continued through, obviously, until the end of the Civil War. So Savannah was really known for its cotton and rice plantations, and the city became very wealthy for some people and not others. And Savannah is really interesting because it's known as America's first planned city. There's a grid system for streets, beautiful public squares and parks. I think most of them that were originally created are still around too. And the city became very well known for lavish homes and churches. But the city has had a lot of misfortune as well. It's been beset by fires and hurricanes and epidemics. And back in 1820, there was an outbreak of yellow fever that killed one-tenth of the population.
You know, as a major city in the state, it is interesting that of all the stuff it suffered, it was not burnt to the ground by Sherman during the Civil War. For some reason, he spared Savannah. And there's a lot of legends about why. Among them was that it was too beautiful to burn, which I find ludicrous. But another intriguing one is that basically, he was a Mason, and he made deals with other Masons who were in Savannah. All that seems suspicious to me. I bet there was some other reason, some tactical reason why he didn't put it to the torch. But
I would say so.
Yeah, it's an interesting place, though. It's one of the few places in Georgia to see buildings that are older than 1865. Like Atlanta, you won't really find much here newer or older than 1865 because it was just a pile of ash.
But I heard that Sherman gave it to Lincoln as a Christmas gift.
That is certainly the famous message that was sent.
But it is just a spectacular city, and it's one of the country's most popular vacation spots too.
It's a beautiful low slung city. There's not a lot of tall buildings there. I think the tallest building, it was an apartment complex that was built to like deal with the poor and the elderly. I think it's only 20 stories tall. I'm just guessing that it's because of the nature of the bedrock or whatever. But I know some old cities where they have a lot of low buildings, they don't want people to build high rises because it breaks the sort of historic feel of the place. DC's like that, you know. So I don't know. It's gorgeous. There's a lot of big old oak trees with Spanish moss hanging down. It looks very gothic.
Which you don't want to touch because of the chiggers.
I had not heard that. I didn't want to touch it just because I didn't want to. I don't know. It looks creepy. But it doesn't grow around here. So it's one of the signs that you've reached the real South is when you start seeing the Spanish moss hanging.
Sure. And I just remember my friend Jill telling me that it was full of these little mites.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful and you want to touch it and it looks like a spider web almost. But no, apparently it would make you very itchy.
That's interesting. Yeah. No, chiggers are definitely real. They're a real kind of pest down here. And when I was a kid and used to actually go outside, you'd get them, they'd bite your legs and it was unpleasant. So.
Oh, I'm getting itchy. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Just talking about these things.
But with a city with that much old architecture, though, invariably it's going to have old buildings with old stories. So.
Yes. Yeah. All the beautiful architecture and beautiful gardens and Southern cuisine. And I always think of the Southern hospitality as well. And of course, ghosts.
Of course.
When I went there in 2008, I went on a ghost tour of the historic district. So I don't know if you ended up doing a ghost tour.
I have still never taken one of the official, and there's several out there. And they've got, you know, ones that are on the backs of wagons and, little gas powered trolleys. And it's a big part of the city is these walking tours and driving tours of ghostly stuff and historic things. And
huge industry.
Yeah.
But when I was there, unfortunately, I had picked up the con crud. So
yeah.
I was feeling pretty crook, as we'd say in Australia, but I did my best to enjoy it. And it was just so much to see there. So I thought we'd look at some of the places that I went to on the tour, and you could talk about some of the places that you've been to as well.
Absolutely.
So I thought the first place we'd talk about is the Hamilton Turner Inn, and that was built in 1873. And it was featured in the movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. So I'm not sure if you've read that book. I know you've seen the movie.
I have seen the movie. I've not read the book.
So. Yeah, the book's by John Berendt, I believe is how you pronounce his name. And the film's by Clint Eastwood.
Which is why I was disappointed. I think I thought there was going to be more excitement in the film just because, you know, I wasn't aware of how much of Clint Eastwood's stuff is actually just, you know, drama.
I watched it recently just to get in the feel of Savannah again, not having been there for a time. And I enjoyed it. I thought there's a lot to it. Probably deserves a second viewing, I think.
Probably so. All I remember is the guy walking the invisible dog. That's
Patrick. Yeah. So. Right at the start. Yeah, I knew I was in for a treat from that point.
It's a town full of characters. It reminds me of New Orleans in a lot of ways.
Yes, absolutely. The voodoo, hoodoo, are a lot of similarities. Architecture. And ghosts. So with the Hamilton Turner home, it's also rumored that it was the early inspiration behind Disney's Haunted Mansion.
Well, it certainly looks like a Victorian fantasy place. I mean, it does. It's just gorgeous. But the architecture is classic Victorian style. It's really, really gorgeous. It's a beautiful.
It truly is. Yep.
Not to be confused with the Queen Anne style, which is all the towers and stuff. Like it's a little different from that. But we could probably put links in the show notes to these places. So
yeah, definitely we will. But I want to let you know that the Hamilton Turner Inn is the most haunted place in Savannah.
Oh, so book early is what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm sure all the rooms are the most haunted, but anyway. So there are lots of reports that people have made of paranormal activity, and these places have pretty much all appeared on Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, all of the shows. They've all done the rounds, and certainly they appear on all of the tours in Savannah. But there are lots of claims of ghostly activity. People claim that they hear the ghostly sounds of children's laughter and billiard balls rolling around on the upper floors. Interesting. And a Civil War soldier walks through the halls at night and occasionally wakes the guests by knocking on their doors too. And there's also sightings of a cigar smoking man on the roof.
Wow.
So those are the claims associated with that place. And I didn't get the time to do a full investigation of the place, but certainly with some of these places, a lot of the stories have debunked and been debunked, and we can get into that. A little bit later.
I've never, you know, been above it, but the roof does look to be pretty flat up there. So it's certainly not implausible someone can get up there and walk around, you know.
A real life person, live person. Not a ghost.
I mean, obviously ghosts can go anywhere. I didn't mean to imply that ghosts couldn't get bright.
So physics.
I think it's nice that if it is a ghost, that it's, you know, respecting the whole don't smoke inside and around others rule, you know.
Well, again, that's Southern hospitality. Very genteel. But speaking of Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, I thought we'd next talk about Bonaventure Cemetery. Now, sure. Have you been there?
I have been there. Yep.
Isn't it just gorgeous?
Again, lots of big old sprawling oaks with lots and lots of Spanish moss.
They're hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
Apparently, even Oscar Wilde once visited there, and he called the place incomparable.
Wow. That's nice. I didn't know he'd been there. That's cool.
He
ended up in a nice cemetery himself. He went to
Père Lachaise.
Yes, exactly.
Paris. Yeah. Yeah, and I have written about Bonaventure Cemetery before for an article for CSI, which is still available online for my old web column. And I do compare the two cemeteries. I think there are some similarities.
Oh, me
them.
Too. Yeah, yeah. Mm.
But people might know this cemetery from the cover of the book because it features a sculptor known as Bird Girl.
Yes, with the little, her hands holding out to the side with two bird watering places, I guess.
Yeah, bowls or plates.
Something. But she's no longer there, so.
No, she's been moved to Savannah's Museum of Art because she just became such a sensation. When the book came out and people just wanted to visit her. And I think that there'd been some damage to her nose as well. So, yeah, they ended up moving that sculpture from the Chilsdale family.
The Savannah club. Sphinx.
Yeah.
That is sad, though, yeah. So
she is said to be haunted by the spirit of Lorraine, who was the little girl who posed for the artist.
Huh.
Lots of ghosts. And Bonaventure is a private, or was originally a private cemetery that was built in the mid-1800s, and then it was made public in the early 1900s. And I've always been fascinated by that. You go to Louisiana, and you've got all these family cemeteries, private cemeteries. I've just never seen anything like that in Australia. I don't know if that's something found around the U.S. or if it's just in the
There are family cemeteries around here. You know, I'm in North Georgia, sort of North Central Georgia, and it's not unusual to find family plots or small churches would build cemeteries and then the church would disappear, but the cemetery remains. Mm. There's one of those near my hometown, and they're currently doing this massive development. And then there's this weird island where they've leveled all the land, but they couldn't level the cemetery. So it's like this strange, almost like a mound, but it's just an elevated cemetery that they couldn't touch. So they've just built around it. So, yeah, it's not uncommon. There's a shopping center near me where they filmed was it Willy's Wonderland with Nick Cage, which I thought was a surprisingly fun film. And behind that is another one of those. It's just like there used to be a church there. The church is gone. The entire shopping development is built around it. And buried in the middle, literally, is a complete cemetery with a fence around it. And it's just so strange. Yeah, but there's a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me think of the Winchester Mystery House, too, just surrounded by Silicon Valley.
We'll be coming back to that because one of the other places in here has some strong connections there.
Yeah. So moving on, the cemetery is located beside the Wilmington River, so it's just east of Savannah. And I've heard that there are occasionally alligators seen lounging around there. So I don't know if that's true or if I was just being told that.
It could be.
Australian.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's places like if you go towards southern Georgia, there's definitely gators. Like I've been to visit a friend and I took back roads and I had to like stop while this, I don't know how big it was. You know, it's one of those things as a alleged monster hunter, I should have taken a photo. I should have done something. But instead, I just sort of sat there in awe as this ginormous alligator crossed the road at its leisurely pace. You know,
incredible. And certainly, around Florida and the Everglades, tons of them around.
Yeah, quite literally, yeah.
But the cemetery has a lot of famous inhabitants, including Georgia's first governor, Edward Telfair. And lots of military generals and I think musicians and authors, but probably the most famous inhabitant is Little Gracie Watson.
Oh.
So I don't know if you've heard of her before.
I have not.
So she was the daughter of W.J. and Francis Watson. and they managed a hotel that's no longer there, the Pulaski Hotel. It's now demolished. It was on Johnson Square, which makes me think of Jackson Square. I think there are lots of similarities again.
And I think Pulaski was a general in, I'm guessing, the Revolutionary War. But there's a Fort Pulaski. There's a fort down there named after him that you can go tour as well.
Interesting. So, yeah. Okay. So, little girl died when she was only 6 years old of pneumonia in 1889. So, very sad story. And her parents were heartbroken, and they had a life-size sculpture commissioned for her grave marker. So that's one of those really iconic, famous grave sites in the cemetery. But people claim that they see her spirit running around the cemetery, and that her statue cries real tears as well. And very sadly, people leave toys for her at Christmas and on her birthday. And so, yeah, there's a lot of lore surrounding her. And I think in general, some people believe that the angels and cherubs and other statues come to life there. So I always think that's a fun claim.
Oh, it'd be very cool for a movie or a fantasy novel or something like that. I know that there's a lot of cemeteries where they have this kind of statuary. You get folklore around it. We've got one here in Marietta, which is a little bit south of me, and there's a legend if you go in at midnight that one of the statues will come alive and will answer questions for you. That sort of, so it's the kind of things kids will dare each other to, you know, sneak out and go to the cemetery at midnight just to, you know, go test the theory. So
definitely one of those legend tripping things, and I've heard of a lot of stories like that. We've talked about them before, where people will you go to a cemetery at midnight where something happens.
Well, and
the ghost appears, something.
Clearly, this we've talked about before also, how this, you know, these old cemeteries date back to a time when it was part of a movement, or at least there were movements towards like making these like green spaces for people to go and, you know, picnic and all sorts of things.
Yes.
This one feels more like a gothic, you know, I don't know, horror or romance novel or something. It's the architecture and the different kinds of statuary and the ages of the graves. It gives you a sense of you know, looming antiquity, and like the nature is just waiting for an opportunity to just take this place back and, you know, render it to jungle. It's really cool.
Indeed, yeah, it's very atmospheric, and of course, it's the most haunted cemetery in the United States.
That is amazing. What a...
Along with lots of others, but yeah.
That's right.
But yeah, it's a beautiful place to visit, well worth visiting, and certainly people still go there and picnic and go for walks.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Well, speaking of places that make me think of New Orleans, let's talk about our next stop.
Yes. So the Marshall House Hotel. So that's the place where I stayed back in 2008.
Neat.
Yes. Yes. I must have got a good deal on hotels.com.
I've been by it so many times. I've never been inside it, not even to use their bathroom, which is the number one reason I go to hotels in Savannah.
Nice. So it's one of the oldest hotels in Savannah. And during the Civil War, it was a makeshift hospital for Union soldiers. And then again, later during epidemics of yellow fever. So we'll see that that was actually quite a common thing for places to be turned into makeshift hospitals. And so there's a story that the hotel was restored back in the 1990s. And workers were replacing some damaged floorboards downstairs and they found some human remains. So there was a big kerfuffle from that, people thinking the murder had taken place, something had gone down. But now the opinion of historians is that the bones were discovered came from the amputated limbs of Civil War soldiers.
Wow. So, you know, now this building is sort of red aged brick. With the green shutters, and then it's got that metal grill work outside, like the ornate scroll.
Iron works.
Mm-hmm. And it looks so much like it could be on any street in New Orleans, especially in the French Quarter.
Oh, in the French Quarter,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, the French Quarter and the historic district of Savannah are just very, very similar.
But is it haunted?
Of course, it's the most haunted place in Savannah.
I did not know that.
So lots of fun stories associated with this place. Now, personally, I didn't experience anything when I was there. But other people have had all kinds of different experiences. Faucets, I would say taps, that turn on and off by themselves. And lights that inexplicably flicker. Electronic items that power themselves. And toilets suddenly overflowing for no apparent reason. And the sound of crying babies and disembodied voices that echo through the halls.
I've heard like a rhythmic thumping, like followed by extensive moaning sounds. What?
Yeah. Not when I was there, but yeah.
Those are the worst kind of ghosts.
And often found in hotels.
Very often.
But yeah, lots of claims of loud noises taking place in the morning hours and heavy objects crashing to the ground and also doorknobs to the bedrooms that wiggle as though someone's trying to enter the room.
None of these things sound like something I would want to have in my hotel if I were luring people there with the ghost. I don't want to have anything ghostly happening that's going to actually disturb people's sleep, you know?
Well, it depends on the place, because I was discussing this with Matt, and that happened to us when we were staying at Myrtle's Plantation in St. Francisville in Louisiana. And we had people actually rattling the doorknobs and trying to get in because the whole place was just alive with ghost hunters and
Wow. Who
throughout the night, I mean, up until about 6 a.m., were conducting their little investigations. So I think it's a draw card. I mean, certainly not for the average holidaymaker, but for ghost hunters, absolutely. I mean, this is the reason they're going there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so room 306 is especially haunted. There's a ghostly cat there, but I've often found whatever room is available that night is the room that's the most haunted.
Ah, yeah, that's a good strategy.
Yeah, very, very clever. So let's move on to the next place. So the 1790 Inn and Restaurant. So I don't know if you've been there before or...
I know I've driven past it, but I've never been inside it. I looked inside it, like I looked at the, they have like a pub, it looks like, in the basement. It looks quite nice. Big old oak. There's a lot of places where these buildings are old. And if you go down and you can see the exposed woodwork and the beams, you know, a lot of them hand-hewed. Mm-hmm. And so old and shellacked, they almost look like a British pub that's, you know, 300 years old. They're not, you know, they're impressive.
So old for America.
Exactly. It's quaint by European standards, but by American standards, it's just very old.
Yes. But I need to tell you that this is the most haunted place in Savannah.
Oh, I wish I had known that.
So the most infamous ghost here is the spirit of Anne. So people always talk about seeing Anne on the top floor of the inn, especially in room 204. So we've heard this claim a lot before too, where there's a ghost or a poltergeist who messes with people and moves their belongings, maybe steals them or hides them, rearranges things, maybe even folds up their clothes for them, turns down the bed, all those kinds of things. So N is the spirit who's doing all of this in the 1790 inn. So who was this N? So the story goes, her husband went away to sea and perished. And she was so distraught that she threw herself over the railing of the second story balcony.
That is not very far, by the way. I'm just going to, if you're going to kill yourself, and I don't recommend it, if you need help, get help. But
yeah.
Ooh, second story is not very far. That's like leg breaking territory. Anyway, go ahead.
The interesting story is, this has been debunked a lot. So has there ever been an Anne there? Let's look at the history of the place. Can we possibly debunk this story by looking at the history? There were two Annes who lived there. The first was Anne White, and she lived there during the 1820s. But that second story balcony wasn't there at that time. So when she was living there, and her husband died in a horse riding accident. So she moved from the house, and she moved in with family somewhere nearby. So she didn't die there. So it wasn't this particular Anne White. There was a second Anne who lived there too, Anne Powers, but she lived there until she was in her late 80s. So she existed there without any kind of incident. She didn't commit suicide. So there isn't a record of an Anne who threw herself from the balcony after her husband went off to sea and died. But it does make me think of those widow's walks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On a lot of those houses, they are just...
I mean, it seems like the kind of folklore you could just look at the place and slap it on there. I mean, there's plenty of stories like that. Anne's a nice, innocuous, you know, sort of 19th century name. I don't know. But, why do these ghosts keep giving out false IDs? So that's what I'd like to know.
They're just all part of their shtick.
Don't trust ghosts, you know.
There are just so many places we could talk about, so I thought we'd just try to stick to the most infamous places.
Well, I think we only go to the most haunted. That can only be like one or two places. So what else you got?
three or four or
five or six.
So the Kehoe House. I don't know if you've been there before. That's on.
I have not been to this one, but it looks really cool. It's more brick than the others. Yeah,
it's exquisite, just gorgeous. And that was built in 1892 for the Kehoe family, William Kehoe and his family. So they lived in a house for a number of years, and they had lots of children, 10, 12 children. And sadly, it's known that some of their children passed away inside of the house. So I'm assuming that could have been of yellow fever because it was rampant.
Well,
so many times.
I mean, it's hard to say. If you go to the cemeteries, like these older cemeteries, and just start looking for family plots, you'll find so many kids that die before they're one. And it's just
the little lambs on the
It's heartbreaking. But I mean, the germ theory of medicine really has made a big difference, and inoculations and vaccines and antibiotics have saved so many children.
And you're right. It might not have been yellow fever necessarily, because child mortality rates were just so high.
It was just crazy. That's why you have 12 kids, because you hope, you know, six or seven will make it. I mean, it's just sad, but true.
Sadly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So the Kehoe House is now a B&B, and Blake, apparently it's the most haunted place in Savannah.
Wow. That's very good to know.
Badge of honor. So with children having passed away in the house too, it's no coincidence that the ghosts of children are some of the most reported ghosts in the house. And there's a story that just won't die, although it's been debunked pretty heavily, and that is that two of the Kehoe children got stuck in the chimney in the building, and being unable to escape, they died there. And so a terrible, tragic story, but fortunately there's no evidence that this actually happened.
Yeah, that would be pretty terrible. These big houses, you know, these houses have big chimneys, but they're not that big. That's pretty crazy. Yeah.
That's right. They would. So I think potentially something like that could happen. And the story goes that the kids went missing and she just couldn't find them. And then after a while, there was a bad smell in the house, and they searched the chimney and discovered the remains there.
Yeah, that sounds too similar to the Santa Claus in the chimney, you know, folklore about.
I was thinking Santa Claus too.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, some guests report that they hear the sounds of children playing. And another favorite of mine, people report that they smell perfume in the house. You know, like a Quirky Fingers old lady perfume.
Uh-huh. That's what I, like if you that, look at this house, I would expect it to smell like that anyway.
Chanel perfume. Yeah. But I think that one's interesting because you're undoubtedly going to have guests or others who are wearing perfume. So it's just
that just makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. But another claim is that people have the sensation of someone touching them while they sleep. So, yeah, lots of good old-fashioned ghost stories.
My wife's reported that a lot when we've gone to hotels.
Oh, well, there you go. That's some proof. Wasn't you or nothing?
Yes. I've felt being slapped. It's really weird.
So, that's definitely worth visiting. I mean, some of these places are open to the public and others are businesses, so you can't just kind of turn up and say, I want to go ghost hunting. You'd have to stay in these places.
It's pay to play, I think, is the way they put it, yeah, right? So
indeed. So moving on to Moon River Brewing Company, which obviously wasn't around in the 19th century, is something that has only been around since the 1990s, but the building itself has been around since 1821.
Nice.
So yeah, another beautiful building.
Full of spirits.
Full of spirits and spirit, because yeah, it is the most haunted place in Savannah.
Whoa, that is shocking.
I know, it started to fall a bit flat now, this claim, but it's the most haunted. And it was originally the Savannah City Hotel and was another makeshift hospital during a yellow fever outbreak. And so hundreds of people and lots of children in particular reportedly died there during these outbreaks. So guests report seeing ghostly children. And they've got a number of infamous ghosts. There's Toby. I don't know exactly who Toby is or how he got his name, but he haunts the basement of the brew pub. And there's a lady in white as well who haunts the upper floors. So, I mean, there's always got to be a lady in white.
It does. A lady in white or a lady in gray. That seems to be like your two most generic.
Yeah. In period dress.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But this place also has poltergeists and they smash bottles and glasses and play tricks on staff and even push people down the stairs.
Well, that's probably bad for insurance.
It is, yeah. I wonder if you have to declare something like that.
Yeah. Sorry. It's not bad stairs, not bad design. We've got a terrible ghost. There's really nothing we can do.
Yeah. But at least it's the kind of thing that pays off in Savannah.
Yes, apparently so.
But speaking of pubs, there's one final place that I wanted to talk about, and that's the Pirate's House.
And we just ate here. So like this was a place that Kathleen had gone when she was a kid with a school trip and wanted to go back and visit. So we went, and I was expecting it to be kind of, you know, run down. It was actually really nice. But
Very fancy and upmarket, because I ate there too with my friend Shell. But unfortunately, I had the crud, and so I didn't.
You don't get to enjoy it as much, right? Yeah.
No, not for as long anymore.
Well, you're lucky you didn't die there and become yet another ghost. That's
That is so true. Absolutely, because it is also the most haunted place in Savannah. But this place is terribly interesting because it's mentioned in Treasure Island.
Yes, a fact you will not be able to miss if you go there.
Yes, they really play up on that.
They really leaned into that whole Treasure Island Long John Silver's fill. Not like the cheap fish joint, but like it's But I'll tell you what's interesting about this place is it's been around for a long time. Like but it is actually multiple structures that have been joined together with walkways, and so when I went to go see the Winchester House and they were describing how it was built, I realized, well, of course it's a maze. it's a bunch of different things that were built over time and added on, and you know,
added on. Yeah.
The natural result of that is, you know, weird off levels, wraparound labyrinth like structures, and as they're doing remodeling, they find things from older structures. They've got a sort of it's not a well, it's a square structure. Maybe it was an old chimney. It's hard to say, but they call it the tunnel. And they've got it glassed over now. I think used to you could drop pennies in, it looks like, from the what I see in the trash in the bottom of it. But they don't know why it's there, but it's like this central shaft out near the buffet. And, it's peculiar.
It's if you've got con crud and you need to dash off.
Right.
In the buffet.
Exactly.
But it is apparently the oldest structure in Georgia. But as you say, there are a lot of add-ons. So I think the Herb House is the original structure dating back to the 1750s or maybe even the 1730s. But it's certainly been built on top of that around it. But the claim is that there was a tunnel that led from the basement that went out to River Street. And that a lot of men who went there went drinking, were drugged, and then were shanghaied. So they were forced to serve as sailors on ships.
Oh, they love that story. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you probably told that when you were there.
I didn't hear it, no, but I've heard the Shanghai story a lot. Around anytime you get down near the river in an older city, you're going to hear stories about how people were impressed or not impressed, but pushed into service.
Yes.
Or shanghaied, as you say. That was, you know, I guess it was hard to get people to volunteer to be a sailor back in the day. But once you're out at sea, you know, you're kind of stuck with the job.
You've got to comply, or you'll meet an untimely end being tossed off the ship.
Yep, indeed.
But to that end, there are lots of claims that people see the ghosts of old sailors. And seeing them appear at windows as well, and hearing their phantom footsteps walking around the place. But I wanted to tell you my favorite story that's associated with this place that I was even told about when I was there, and that is that people have encounters with Captain Flint, who's mentioned in Treasure Island, because apparently he visited the bar and then he later died in Savannah. So that's a story you're going to hear a lot, but the only problem with it is that Captain Flint was fictional.
So you won't actually catch him napping.
Yeah. But that is a fun story. So
that is, it is.
The places that I visited when I was there and have a lot of fond memories and would love to go back someday and revisit them again.
Well, I'd say while I find the ghost stories dubious, it certainly is an atmospheric city. And full of real history and lots of lovely places to eat and and the people are largely friendly. I've heard they've had some crime issues, but I certainly not around the touristy areas that I've seen. Right. But we felt very safe anyway.
The historic district is pretty safe.
But down by the Riverwalk area is big brick structures to take cargo off of ships and store. And a lot of those old buildings are now restaurants or gift shops. And it's a really fun place to go walk on the cobblestones and just have a look around and eat. We went down a few years back and they had a tall ships festival. And there were all these different sailing ships you could get on board and walk around and see. And they had the one that was used in Master and Commander and that movie. But then sadly, it was sunk in a hurricane, not just a few months after we got to go on board. So I was really sad to see that.
That is sad. No.
While we were there, though, we did see a place that I think Monster Talk listeners would really enjoy. You know, these episodes go out and they'll sit on the internet forever. But at the time that I'm telling you this, this is a real place you can go visit. And it's called the Grave Face Museum. And it's down on the Riverwalk and it's kind of hidden. And like there's a little sort of area between the Riverwalk and then the upper street where the cars go. And in that little alley sort of area, there's a place called the Grave Face Museum. And there's actually two of them. There's one in Chicago and there's one here in Savannah. But
and they're related?
Well, yes. The husband and wife own them and they've opened both locations simultaneous, which is it's a scary time to be starting a business, but it's certainly the kind of place that people who listen to this show will enjoy.
There's a market for it.
It has carnival stuff like sideshow gaffes. We've talked about those before.
Yes.
It's got all
Fiji
kinds
of mermaids.
It's got all these old pinball machines you can play. It's got old books and herbs and sort of like spell casting materials if you need those. It's got a section of serial killer memorabilia if you're into true crime. There's a lot of stuff there, like artwork made by John Wayne Gacy, that kind of stuff. It's a fascinating mix of sort of dark tourism bait, if you will. It's like, come in and see all the things, all the curios and weirdness. It's, you know, they, pickled punks and, you know, all that sort of things. Bizarre taxidermy. Anyway, highly recommended for if you want to inject a little weird into your visit, as if ghosts are not enough. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to get back there and visit the Grave Face Museum as well, because it looks very cool.
It is indeed. Well, so that's a brief tour of Savannah, allegedly the hottest city in America.
Yeah, the most haunted city.
You know, we ought to have like a little recurring segment where we like do better know a ghost town, you know?
Yes.
Just talk about different Good haunted idea. Cities.
Yeah, well, I've been to a lot of them.
Uh-huh. Me too. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Savannah.
Have you been to Salem? I've never been to Salem, but that's a trip I'd like to make.
I haven't. It is on my bucket list, and I think about it all the time, and every year think, I've got to get there. I totally want to get there, so someday.
Outstanding. All right. Well, thanks for listening to another episode, people. We really appreciate
it. Thank you for joining us.
And we'll be back next week discussing something else.
Something else weird.
One imagines.
Monster Talk.
You've been listening to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
You just heard Karen and I discussing the most haunted city in America. And then, of course, within that city, the most haunted places in Savannah. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Monster Talk. Each episode, we strive to bring you the very best in monster-related content with a focus on bringing scientific skepticism into the conversation. If you enjoy Monster Talk, we now have a variety of ways to support the show, all with convenient links at monstertalk.org/support. That's monstertalk.org/support. We have links there to our Patreon page as well as a donation button. Another great way to support the show is to buy books from our Amazon Monster Talk wish list, which directly helps us with our research. We love used books very much, so don't feel compelled to buy new ones, and we love Kindle so we can share our digital libraries with each other. And finally, without spending any money at all, you can support us by leaving a positive review at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Positive reviews help keep us visible in iTunes, which is a great way to help us find new listeners. And please share our show on your favorite social media platforms. Monster Talk's a proud member of the Airwave Media Podcast Network, home of such shows as The Daily Meditation Podcast, Big Picture Science, and The Accidental Creative. If you'd like to advertise on this show, contact sales at advertisecast.com. We'll be talking further about Savannah for an upcoming video, so keep an eye out for that on our channel at youtube.com/Monster Talk. Monster Talk's theme music is by Peach Stealing Monkeys. As always, thank you for making this show a part of your listening life.
Been a Monster House presentation.
I am waiting to see where this is going.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.